Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Obviously, want to wish the Bruins well in their Stanley Cup final. This would be a great opportunity for them, and we'll be here. We'll be here cheering them on.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not going to train mentally for practices.
We talking about practice.
That's how I train. It's practice,
not a game. We talking about practice.
Rich Key.
KD and I have texted.
I get text messages all the time.
We've texted for 2-3 hours straight.
Players, coaches, owners, text me.
Dale and Keith.
My single greatest fear from the Bruins' perspective.
Spiders.
Yeah. Snakes, maybe even more. So,
snakes are much worse than spiders.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Can I just give Bill Belichick credit for just one brief moment?
Sure, you give him all the credit you want. He's been a very successful coach in the NFL.
That too.
Yeah.
But in the cut that you just heard.
Yes.
That we played during the Open. He got it right. Want to wish the Bruins luck in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, he's a sports fan. He knows.
No S on the end.
Nope.
So many people get that wrong.
We got to do this every year.
I wish the Bruins well in their Stanley Cup final.
Thank you, Bill, for getting that right.
Why do they do it that way?
I have no idea.
It's odd.
And they're really touchy about it,
too. Because it's not the NBA final.
No.
It's the NBA finals.
No, it's probably why they do it that way. They're really touchy about it.
Just to be different. Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, can I give you credit?
Of course. You don't have to ask for
it just seems in the interest of giving credit where credit is due.
I've always said Stanley Cup final.
That too.
Yeah.
It is fairly obvious that you hold some sway over the hockey team over at the TD Garden.
Why, they're doing Bear Force One now?
No.
Oh.
Not that much sway.
Well, okay. What do I got?
The Bruins have announced.
Yes.
They have moved all their practices to the TD Garden for the remainder of the season.
How do you like that, guys? Ice expert Rich Keefe weighing in.
And look, they were listening to you. The way, smart on their part.
It is smart for them. It is smart. That's the ice, and you want the best ice possible. And I think for the Bruins,
they don't
too,
practice today at all, but they'll be practicing tomorrow at the Garden.
You got to recover from the scrimmage from last night.
So
you
got to
be able to take a day. Two periods, full house in there. Fans are going nuts. So that is one cool thing. Like you can talk about how it's a little silly that they did this, but just the idea of how passionate the fans are to show up and root on a practice is what it was. It was a scrimmage, yes, but they're working on stuff. They're trading players
like, in the middle of the game.
Tuukka played period.
You're on black now.
No numbers on the back. That's a problem. I didn't love that. It was hard to sort of keep up with what was going on.
And especially if you weren't sitting right down, you know, in the lower bowl. If you're up in the 300 section somewhere, you're going, what?
Now, they avoided injury.
Oh, he's a left shot. No, that can't be him.
Oh, that's not him. Yeah. Like who Marchand is and you know who Chara is. Everybody else all look about the same. But they avoided any real injury, right? Like I know Marchand left for a second, jammed his hand or whatever.
And then came back out. He was
fine. That was good because that was one of the concerns about it. But I mean, overall, fine. Like they got to try something. It's a weird thing to have 11 days off and then to get ready for an opponent. And you don't even know who the opponent is for about half of the time. So it's an odd, like the event was odd, but so was this long layoff.
It was a weird thing to do, but I understood why they felt. Now, as it turned out, it wasn't what Bruce Cassidy had planned. What he had planned was, we're going to bring him in for a morning skate.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to send him home just like we would normally do. They'll get their nap in. They'll get their chicken, whatever it is that they do pregame.
Yeah.
Then we'll bring
same stuff. I want same stuff. Routine.
And then we'll bring him in for a night scrimmage so that it's kind of, you know, getting the body back in tune with how you normally do things. Somebody within the Bruins organization, not Bruce Cassidy, decided, hey, we could do something a little different. And by the way, I'm fine with that.
I can't imagine Bruce Cassidy saying, and then kids get free popcorn, parking's $10, Bruins Foundation. I don't see him doing all that. He's worried about his team, but whatever. You have a fun little event like that, and then you still have 3 more days to sit around and wait. I guess 4 days, right? I mean, you play on that fourth night, but it's just you're still sitting around waiting for the series to finally get going. And I think it can't not be a sluggish start, but the question is just how long does that last? Is it one shift? Is it 5 shifts? Like when do they kind of snap out of it?
I think for most people, the concern, even more than the skaters getting sluggish at the start, because St. Louis has also got 5 days off.
Yeah.
They could be sluggish at the start as well. They won't have as much time off as the Bruins, but the concern for most, and at least for me, is how's Tuukka Rask going to be?
That's 100% what it is. And,
again, and even he admitted...
A lot of goal to Peter Cehlárik last night.
Okay, could we not dwell on the Peter Cehlárik goal?
Just saying, they got, you know, I'm not giving St. Louis a whole lot of credit, but they got some players better than Peter Cehlárik over there. David Backes also scored against them, so hopefully he's not dented like John Tortorella. I don't know if he is or not.
I don't think they put a dent in him with this. They did pull him from the game, however.
That's not a good sign.
Zane O'Mac got an opportunity to play.
He hasn't been pulled in a while, but yeah, I mean, that's the big question. And then I guess the other part of it is, when you look at this matchup, does Tuukka need to be the best player on the ice for the Bruins to win the series? I don't think that he does. Now, if he isn't, that's going to lead to a 6-7 game series, right? Like, it's going to be a hard-fought thing like the Toronto series was. But I think they can still, you know, if the goaltending matchup is a wash, I think the Bruins can win. And as long as it's not completely dominated by Binnington, then I think the Bruins still win.
Jeff O'Neill, who joined us last hour, said it's a coin flip for him. He thinks this thing goes 7. It's coin flip. You know, either team.
He's picking the Blues. I'm telling you.
Well, you may be right. That's fine. I don't see the Blues winning the cup here in a game 7.
I don't see them winning the cup. Period. Yeah.
But he said it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a coin flip. I came up with the 10 reasons why I think the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, and we're going to zip through these a little quicker than we did earlier.
Yeah.
Number 10 is passion. The passion of the Boston sports fan, particularly the Bruins fan. No disrespect meant to the nice folks in St. Louis,
yes,
but they are literally the nice folks of St. Louis.
Well, they really are. But I think this also goes into the fact that they have home ice advantage. So if it does go 7, we know where Game 7 is. Also, the long layoff, I think, is a little bit negated by having the first two games at your place. And so it's going to be difficult. You can't really sleepwalk through when the place is going to be going crazy.
Like, think
the
fans about what it was going, like last night for a practice.
For a freaking practice.
Now, imagine Monday, when everybody's off all day anyway.
Yeah.
They got the barbecues going. They have an opportunity to get themselves prepared for an 8 o'clock face-off.
Now, are you worried that on Monday night, it's only going to be filthy rich kids who can afford to go to these games?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's...
That is a little concern of mine.
No, it's, not it's a legitimate ticket. Concern.
It's a $600
it's a very
ticket.
Expensive.
It's insanely expensive, but I think there's still going to be the diehard fans there, and they definitely have the advantage there.
All right, number 9, the Bruins' decided speed advantage, in my opinion, especially on defense. When you look at McAvoy, Krug, Grizzlick, and Clifton, those four in particular, I think the Bruins have a decided speed advantage on the blue line.
And I think if you look at what St. Louis just went up against in San Jose, it would have been a much tougher challenge for them, or would have prepared them a lot better for Boston had the Sharks been completely healthy and had they had to deal with some of that really high-end speed that San Jose has. They were either banged up and weren't 100%, or they were just straight up not playing in those games. So it might be, it certainly is a tougher challenge, and even with just the speed element, it's going to be different for St. Louis.
Number 8 is, and Bruce Cassidy has said that the St. Louis Blues are basically the Bruins' twin. Pete DeBoer, the coach of the San Jose Sharks, says these are the two heaviest teams in the National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins come into this final with 19 different goal scorers in the playoffs this year. The Blues have 18 different goal scorers this year. If I think there's a coaching advantage for the Bruins, and that comes later in the list, I think the fact that, in effect, Bruce Cassidy is preparing to play himself gives them an advantage.
It's a mirror match, although I still like the players top to bottom more on the Bruins, but sort of how they play, the players on their teams are kind of similar. We've heard before about how, you know, Ryan O'Reilly is kind of like Patrice Bergeron, and it's almost symbolic of the teams. Like, they kind of fall in line there with certain guys not relying on one line to score all their goals. So it is similar, but I still think that the Bruins are the better overall version of this kind of team.
Reason number 7 is the Boston trifecta, which could have been the Boston
it
suite.
It should have been. Well, at least, I don't know if they would have beaten the Warriors, but they at least should have been playing still right now as we're watching the Raptors beat the Bucks. The Celtics, they let everybody down. They let you down, Dale. They let me down. They let Jason Rossi down.
You especially,
they let Lucy down.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Well, and
so thanks a lot, Kyrie.
I think it's a real deal for these players. The possibility of doing something that, you know, hasn't been done since 1935, I think it was, which is three championships in the same city in basically the same, you know, calendar season. Here you've got the Red Sox, Patriots, and then theoretically followed by the Bruins. Believe it or not, Detroit's the last team that did
this, which is bizarre,
mind-boggling.
But it's funny, too, because we've seen all these guys kind of rally around themselves, too, in the city. You know, yesterday at OTAs, at least for the players who were there, not a whole lot of them, Dale, but the ones who were there, wearing Bruins hats and really, you know, they're hyping up the Bruins.
Belichick, very cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of those guys from some of the different teams in, you know, in attendance in game one.
Number six, Bruins have already beaten Toronto, which was a faster team. Columbus, which was a bigger, stronger team. St. Louis is not as big as Columbus, not as fast as Toronto. I think the Bruins have what it takes to take on this team now in the next round.
I agree with that, but I also wonder, is there any, forget the layoff just for a second, but what kind of adjustment period is there from going from Carolina to St. Louis? Because before, you had two pretty good teams. I still think Toronto might be the best team that they face, but two pretty good teams. Carolina is not that. And now you go from that level of competition for four games where you won a game without McAvoy, you won a game without Chara, you swept them, and now you're going to St. Louis, which is much better. So I wonder what kind of adjustment period that there's going to be there.
Number five is the difference between the two teams' third lines. Third line for the St. Louis Blues is Patrick Maroon, Tyler Bozak, and Robert Thomas. Bruins' third line is Marcus Johansson, Charlie Coyle, Danton Heinen. I think the Bruins win that matchup.
Yeah, they definitely do. And that's a huge check mark for Don Sweeney. I mean, that is a fantastic trade deadline. And also, we saw Heinen on different lines. We saw him on the top line at a time. This is where it should be. You get him back down there with these guys. Coyle has scored a bunch of goals for the Bruins in the playoffs. Johansson has looked really good. So that line, I mean, that third line, it went from one of the worst third lines earlier in the season. You didn't even know who it was, and they were constantly changing guys out. Now it's a much more established third line and maybe the best out of all the teams in the playoffs.
Number four is the second line, which I think this matchup is closer than the third line.
Yeah.
The second line for the St. Louis Blues is Sammy Blaze, Ryan O'Reilly, David Perron. Bruins' second line, Jake DeBrusk, David Krejci, David Backes. The key here for me is DeBrusk. He has to be better than he's been so far. He can be better than he's been so far because David Krejci's having a very strong playoff run here. I think that the Bruins' advantage, number one line against number one line, is pretty significant.
Yes.
Second line is the one that could make the difference here.
Maybe even it's slightly with St. Louis, just because you look at what Jake DeBrusk has done in the postseason, it really hasn't been great, not consistent at all. David Backes, I think it is going to be emotional for him to go up against St. Louis, and he's also not going to be out there every single time. Like, he's probably going to play 10 minutes, and then they might double shift some guys.
And they get an advantage here with the extra day a couple of times during this series. For a veteran guy like Backes, you know, where he's got an extra day, they're going to play games one and two or every other day like you're supposed to be, but then you've got an extra day built in when you go from Boston to St. Louis. When you go from St. Louis back to Boston.
Now, if you're looking at just the second lines again, David Krejci is the best player between the six players that are there. But the next three, at least the way that they've played in the postseason, might be on St. Louis. So that's going to be a tricky matchup to keep in favor of the Bruins.
Number three is the coaching matchup. Bruce Cassidy has a career record, including playoffs, of 136, 70, and 22. As head coach of the Boston Bruins. Craig Berube, who was brought in when they fired Mike Yeo this year, done a really good job, by the way. But his career coaching record is 128, 88, and 34. I give the coaching advantage to the Bruins. It's not a gigantic advantage, but I do think they get one.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I've sort of sided with Cassidy almost in every round, even going back to the first round where Mike Babcock has this unbelievable resume. And yet, what they're doing right now, it's hard to argue with Cassidy, getting the most out of his guys. You know, Berube has done that. This team was in dead last at one point this season. What was it, in January? They were in dead last in all of hockey, and he was a big part of them turning things around.
Now, I will say this, and this gives me pause. Worry about this if you want to.
I might.
Craig Berube was one of the biggest, toughest, meanest SOBs who's ever played the game. He was the... Take a look at that nose. You get an idea of how he played the game.
You think he's going to fight Cassidy?
No, but the San Jose Sharks claim that the St. Louis Blues injured five of their players during the course of that series. Oh. They claim...
Bounty Gate.
...that the Blues were taking guys out.
I don't
that
like
is
that.
Something to worry about.
Well,
if they've taken on the personality of their coach... And they're going to go out there and let's, you know what? We may not be able to beat them as long as Pasternak's out. Let's make sure we get Pasternak out of there.
Well, another good reason to have Backes out there, to have Chara out there, and those guys can hopefully police that a little bit.
All right, number two is, and I think this is a huge advantage for the Bruins, special teams play. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins have the number one power play in the league, a success rate of 34%. They've got the number four penalty kill, success rate of 86.3%. St. Louis has the number nine power play, 19.4%. The number 11 penalty kill, 78%. If the Blues give up power play opportunities to the Bruins, then they definitely don't have a chance.
Oh, they would be porked and goosed for
sure.
Porked
and goosed.
And it's amazing, too, if you look at the two runs, you go back to 2011, where the Bruins had the worst power play ever to win the whole thing, and now really the opposite of that. They might have the best power play, or they do currently right now, at least for this postseason. And if it's anything like it was in the first series or this most recent series, then it could be a short series because they were so dominant on the power play.
And the number one reason why I think the Bruins win the Stanley Cup is, of course, the play of Tuukka Rask. Overall in the playoffs, he's got a record of 12-5. He's got the best goals against average in the playoffs at 1.84. The best save percentage at .942. But take it even one step further. He and the Bruins have now won seven straight games. Over that seven-game winning streak, his goals against average is 1.29. His save percentage is .961. Jordan Binnington's been a revelation for the St. Louis Blues. When they finally installed him in net in the second half of the season, he helped fuel the second half run, which got them into the playoffs. You could make an argument, by the way, that they were woefully underperformed in the first half of the season.
Yeah, they should have been
that
bad.
That's why they fired
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Because their roster is not terrible.
They should have been better than that,
right.
Especially after the moves they made in the offseason. So maybe they just, you know, got back to where they should have been.
Right.
But Binnington was a big part of it. But he hasn't been anywhere near what Tuukka Rask has been.
No, and you mentioned Tuukka Rask's numbers. I mean, Binnington's are good. And again, the most important thing for him is he's been a part of 12 wins. But a 2.36 goals against compared to 1.84. And then the save percentage, .942 to .914. I mean, that's a big difference. And again, he's been a good story. He was really good and really dialed in the regular season. Part of that run that they won on after January. But he's good, but I don't think he's one of those guys that is just going to... I would have a hard time
seeing
him
steal. Sergei Bobrovsky's better.
Yes, 100%. And they were able to break through on him, although he looked very good early in that series. They were able to get past him. So I would expect that that was a much better, bigger challenge than Binnington was.
And you've also got to think about the possibility, and we discussed this earlier, about where does this team go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Because for the most part, and for their core, they're all under contract. The Krejci, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, they're all under contract. They have a couple of unrestricted free agents after the season. Marcus Johansson, who I'd like to bring back. If it works out, that'd be great. Nola Chari is an unrestricted free agent. Could theoretically walk Steven Kampfer. That's it. Restricted free agents, Danton Heinen, Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo. Their possibility of leaving are much less. The one guy who might get an offer sheet is maybe McAvoy, given his upside. But for the most part, NHL GMs try to stay away from
those. They do. So they'll bring those guys back. And yeah, it's going to be a very similar team. And in fact, even if Johansson leaves, if you're saying you have Coyle for the full season, now maybe your third line's not as bad as it was for so long. For over half the year, you got nothing from the third line. So now you actually have something there with Coyle for the full season. I would expect even more improvement from McAvoy and Carlo. Like, those guys were so good this year, and they're still so
young.
Well,
Charlie McAvoy really had, by his own admission, a subpar first half of the season.
For sure.
He had the issues beginning in China.
Yeah.
You know, then he had what we believe were concussion issues as the season got... He really said from January on, he felt like he finally got back to playing the way he could play.
And one of the keys, too, is Tuukka Rask and Halak being able to split time. So you put all that together. Now, they're obviously going to... Well, I shouldn't say obviously. They will likely have to play Tampa Bay or maybe Washington or Pittsburgh or Toronto again, who was really good. And again, this team was down 3-2 in that series to Toronto. So the path to the cup final can't possibly be as easy as it was this year for them once they make the playoffs. But as far as who they are and... Like, would it shock you if Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak all each had 30 or more goals again next year?
No, I'll be shocked if they don't.
Right. I think the one thing that they're going to have to figure out is who's going to play with Krejci all year. Like, they never really filled that.
Well,
they,
DeBrusk will, obviously. On the right
side.
Wing.
The other
right
side.
Wing
who's
is the
gonna,
question.
Who's going to play with him there? It's not going to be Backes. Who knows what they're going to do with him? You know, that'll be a decision for the offseason. He has 2 years left. It's $6 million a year. I don't know any kind of what they could buy him out or what the deal is with that. But that's going to be a question. But, yeah, this team should be set up, at least for the next couple of years, to be right in the thick of it with all those other top cup-contending teams.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We've got our week in review coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we've got time to squeeze in a call or two before then. Tim is up in Maine. Hey, Tim, you're next on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Hello, Tim.
Yeah, is this Mark?
No, it's us.
Is this EEI?
Yeah.
You better believe it, sister.
That's who you called.
Oh, okay. So my name is Tim.
Hello, Tim.
I'm up here in the great state. Yes. Hello. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Tim. We're going to put you on with Dale and Keith. We're going to put you right on there and then just get to your point when they bring you on, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Hey, Tim and Maine, you're next up here on Dale and Keith. What's going on, Tim?
Okay, so I'm talking about a situation up here in the state of Maine. We're in Waterville, Maine. We sent our son to a private Christian school.
Right.
Then when they had a disagreement with me, and they had to apologize because what they said about me was untrue, and they had to admit it in front of my own pastor, they then expelled our son, and then what they did was they released his school records to the Bangor Daily newspaper,
which is
a violation of FERPA law.
That's what I thought.
When I tried to, because they don't receive federal funding,
right.
They weren't liable. So we've actually, in the state of Maine, my wife and I, had a law passed. It went through the House, went through the Senate. The governor vetoed it, but the House and Senate overrode him.
I don't know if you know this, Rich.
I
was actually born in Massachusetts.
You're not a Maine guy?
I was born in Massachusetts.
I thought you were a Maine guy.
I was born in Bourne, Massachusetts.
Tim, you can actually settle a debate for us. We had a caller earlier in the show suggest that there are only Bruins fans in Boston. You're from Maine. Are there Bruins fans in Maine?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
I knew it.
So when you called here, Tim, you were looking for Mark. Was that Mark James?
Mark Stein on EEI.
Oh, Mark Stein.
He's an old rush today.
Oh, yes. Stein? Yeah.
The old NBA guy?
Hold on. I'll put you on hold. We'll see if we can connect you to Mark Stein.
So we've gotten a couple calls of people saying that the RKO producer is giving them our number, and they're sending them here, and we get calls because of that.
Something
wanting
was
to talk
definitely,
about politics.
Because it did seem like he had a lot to get off his chest there.
That had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Now, it is Falls Count Anywhere Friday, to be fair.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
The Falls, they count anywhere. So, to be fair, there's no wrong topic. I wasn't sure
there are some wrong topics.
What did he want us to
that
do
was
about
probably
that?
One of the wrong topics.
He wanted to talk to Dale about, you know, the history of Maine
the
and
Bangor
all these
Daily
and
News.
People just letting these records up. I think it's ridiculous.
So right, his look, son's look, records? Now I'm that curious we've gone, as to why he got thrown out, aren't you?
Now that we've gone to hell in a handbasket, let's complete the trip.
Okay.
Eric's calling from work. Hey, Eric.
Eric!
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Sorry for swearing on that power line last week.
That's all right. Just don't do that again, Eric.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. My question was for both of you.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead. Dale, how? And then I have like a follow-up.
Oh, it's a separate question.
Two different. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, first, and then I want to explain to you why we need to get rid of it altogether. But my question is, Dale, how much money would you be willing to pay for Rich's bail?
And all of my money. All of my money. I would pay it all.
Rich,
yeah.
And Rich, how much money would you be willing to pay to bail Dale out of jail? And my thing is,
Dale
I think
out of jail.
$65.
I think we need to get rid of it altogether. Here's why.
Okay.
You see the hypocrisy because by having to pay bail, what about your proof until you're innocent until proven guilty? You're supposed to have a presumption of innocence. So you're implying if you need to pay bail, you're implying that you're guilty or something. And I know you get your money back if you show up at court, but I'm still saying if you need to pay bail, you're implying that you're guilty or something.
I want everybody here. Just in one big bowl here, whatever prescription medications you have,
dump them in the pile there?
Dump them into this bowl here.
Well,
let
me ask this honest question. Better call today. Tim in Maine, Eric from work.
I think they're pretty much on the same level.
I thought Eric from work much better than Tim in Maine.
I didn't understand either of them.
Tim in Maine was very confusing. I had a hard time with that, picking that up. Something about,
you know,
transcripts.
Do we have time to turn these both around for Week in Review?
You better believe it. Oh, that'll get us right back on track.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keith, we've got a trend first, and then Week in Review.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now?
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keith's a nice guy.
Keith's a nice guy.
Okay. So screw you, Keith.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Nice. Exactly.
We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keith is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
I love hot wieners.
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
Is Death Pool in poor taste?
100%, but a lot of fun.
Sobriety. Beaming.
Here we go. It is a Friday at noon 30. That means it's time for Week in Review. Dale, this is the best stuff from the week at the station.
I don't
know
how any of it could top what we just heard.
We're actually just going to replay last segment. That'll it's never happened before.
No, this will be a first.
Tim in Maine joins us next. What do you got, Tim? No, we're not going to talk to him. But that's an all-timer.
A texter, by the way, says the proper equation for bail for friends is the number of years you were friends times 100.
So $200, Dale?
Yeah, that'd be about it.
All right, fair enough.
Well, you went. I've gone from 65 to 200 now.
Well,
so.
I mean, that's just one texter. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily.
That might not even be true.
$100 a year?
That's what he said.
$100 a year.
Yeah, I guess if you know somebody for like 100 years, it'd be a long time. Would you at that point even post the bail for somebody? If you and your buddy were both 100 and he got arrested for like, you know, homicide and you were just like, do I even bother going in there or what a waste of money?
If a 100-year-old man killing somebody?
Yeah. Like a bunch of guys.
A bunch of guys? Yeah, I'd bail him out.
I'm going to guess he's not getting bail if it's a bunch of guys.
No, probably not.
Yeah. At 100.
But what about innocent until proven guilty? Anyway, the morning show has been doing a lot of singing recently, and that sort of continued.
Not all that well.
No. It is graduation season, though.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Sometimes you buy the best and that's the way you go.
They play this at my high school graduation.
It's a perfect graduation song with like a sad slideshow of all the pictures.
They played this when we were walking in. They played Springsteen Walking Out. I was born in a
Sing
really
a chair.
Good, really
and
good
they're all just sitting in the cell, right?
Oh,
and it just ends.
Right.
It was terrible.
I hope you had the time of your life.
Yeah, we have.
Jerry hates everything, though. You notice that? Even last week,
can you start that again?
Singing.
I just got to hear that, like, beginning. When he's just,
He's so upset.
He's a little grumpy.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the...
Not
sounds like he's at a Green Day concert.
But maybe you get Reamer out of there, you get Wiggy in there, and maybe things will improve.
Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
Ooh. I like this.
Yes. I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side.
I was staying alive with no job.
Trump said this was
on second hand. Moms bounced on old man. So then we moved to Soul Child and Land. A young youth rocking the gold tooth. The only way I became a G off was drug loot.
You like that?
I like how he self-edited.
he's smart.
He self-edited in there.
You gotta do that.
That was impressive.
One of the big topics of the week,
though. The fact that Mutt knew all the words.
Yeah, Mutt was pretty good.
Yeah.
Mutt knew what he was doing there. The big topic of the week, really, on Monday was the reaction to Game of Thrones as the season and series came to an end on Sunday night.
Basically, you watched Game of Thrones last night, or you're going to find out about it on the internet and in the newspaper. I was let down. But I thought that last night was a big-time disappointment. I don't know how anybody else could have really liked the ending to Game of Thrones. I thought it was a mess.
It's just going to be somewhere in the middle because it's not memorable in any serious way.
This was the worst season of Game of Thrones.
I don't think it was the greatest finale. I don't think it was even necessarily a good finale. But the episode itself was good.
You can't just look at it as a one episode because it was the series finale. Because
it's not memorable in any serious way.
This was the worst season of Game of Thrones.
I have to admit, there was probably nothing they could have done last night that would have satisfied everyone. They went two seasons beyond where the end of the George R.R. Martin's books ended. Last night, it would appear that Samuel Tarly invented plastic.
There was a water bottle.
There was a Poland Spring bottle behind his leg.
So you thought that we didn't like it, Dale, but not nearly as much as Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Oh. He was not a fan of the ending.
You come down to the end, and Tyrion says, "The person with the best story is Bran," who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Danny had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories.
So who should have been on the throne?
I think Danny should have been on the throne. Here's the thing, though. If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who's all about the health of the realm, he basically wanted the throne the whole time because he's the one that told the Starks, knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion, knowing that Tyrion would talk to Varys, knowing they'd scheme for Dany's death, knowing that would piss her off, which led her to be the Mad Queen. So he, the entire time, kind of set this whole thing up, and at the end he goes, "Oh yeah, I don't want to be king. Oh, but why did I travel all this way to be here?" No.
Oh, damn!
Let me just say this now. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a terrible year this year. The Green Bay Packers are going to finish under 500. He has spent his entire offseason traveling to Ireland to be in Game of Thrones.
Right.
Watching every second of every Game of Thrones and trying to beat offensive linemen in beer chugging contests. This guy is done.
But he is going to OTAs.
Well,
unlike another guy.
Dale. Okay, which of those two guys do you think will have a better year next year?
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I think Tom Brady will. No, so he may have a bad year, but it has nothing to do with his Game of Thrones takes, because I agree with him on everything he was saying there. However,
all it takes for Keith to like somebody is if you agree with him.
You agree with his takes, yeah.
You agree with me sometimes. I don't like you.
That's a good point.
All right. The beer chugging thing from last night, though?
Embarrassing.
Holy smokes, was that embarrassing.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, we'll talk about that later.
Does David Bakhtiari have a driver, by the way?
Probably.
Okay.
Those big steakheads, though, they don't even get drunk. They could just slam beers. Trust me.
Well, we saw him slam 3.
Yeah, he's probably fine. He probably has like a blood alcohol of like 0.0004. He's probably fine. Before we knew who the Bruins were playing, we at least knew it was down to 2 teams, St. Louis and San Jose. One of those cities, Dale, I have a little bit of familiarity with.
I've been to St. Louis, though. Very underwhelming. San Jose, I think I just drove through. But St. Louis, kind of a dump. Yeah. Anyway, those are my travel tips.
Are they sending us? Is the show going?
I think so, yeah.
Not anymore.
Pack your bags.
Not now.
Are you starting your own travel blog now, Keith?
I think I might. I've been to a lot of great places. Not really, but...
No. St. Louis,
though, that you're willing to share.
No, like, St. Louis is pretty underwhelming.
There's not a lot there.
Everybody, like, hates on
Cleveland. Real nice people, by the way.
That's true. But everybody hates on Cleveland, right?
Everybody like downtown Cleveland.
It's better than St. Louis.
Yeah, I like it.
Cleveland's really not that bad. It's been a while, I think, since we've had Dale Arnold's word of the day. It's been a little while, hasn't it, Rossi?
All right, yeah.
I think he's been trying to dumb it down for you and me, but...
Which I completely appreciate if you heard our Jeopardy segment. Here.
That's very nice. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. But this was the word of the day. Maybe word of the week.
I found it a little hard. It strained my credulity. That all the Stark kids just survive and sail off.
I have no idea what that word is.
I mean, how do all the Stark kids survive?
Don't speed past that, Dale. What was that word?
It's an SAT word.
SAT word. Hold on.
I still don't know what it is.
Let's circle back to that word. Use it.
Was it credulity?
Credulity.
Credulity?
Credulity.
I've never heard that word in my life.
So, drained my credulity.
Dale.
Trying to help you out there, fellas.
Come on, Dale.
I mean, once in a while.
You got to do it. Keep us on our toes.
Otherwise, Bowden won't leave me on the mailing list if I don't throw that in once in a while.
That's fair.
I'm going to work that into a sentence when I'm out with my family later. Credulity?
Do that at Sinbad tonight. Tell me how it works out.
I will. Maybe he'll like, hey, give me a word. I'll make a joke out of it. Credulity.
So Dale also showed off his knowledge and his listening comprehension.
I was too busy yelling, not listening. My fault.
Now, James. Oh, by the way, James Holzhauer, huge come from behind victory last night.
This is a true story.
Yeah,
last night was my first time watching Jeopardy. James,
really?
I said to my wife, "We're going to jump. We're going to jump into this and just because everybody's talking about it."
Yeah,
and I tune in, and he's losing.
You're like, "Wait a minute, this
and
can't
I'm thinking,
be."
I think I jinxed this guy.
Right.
till they get to Double Jeopardy, and then see you later.
Yeah, then he knows what he's doing. So we played Jeopardy. Dale and Keith Jeopardy. It was Dale, me, and Chris Scheim. Rossi playing the role of Alex Trebek.
Tallest building in Boston and New England. That would be Rich Keefe.
What is the Prudential Building?
You know what, Jason? I shouldn't even try to play, Jason, should I?
It's incorrect. It's incorrect. Does anybody else want to buzz it?
Yes, I already did.
Whiny Dale, what would you like?
What is the Prudential Center?
If you were listening, it's also incorrect.
No,
amazing.
Absolutely. I was too busy yelling, not listening.
Absolutely amazing.
Totally my fault.
I got daggers from Dale the whole time. The thing
totally
I didn't really...
Well, you called on him clearly when he did not raise his hand first.
My hand was...
I was like a second grade teacher during that segment, but I will say that
by the way, you screwed up every read, too,
I also have
Alex
the,
Trebek.
I also have the education of a second grader. But I will say Dale has a great competitive edge. That's one thing I learned out of that. He wants to win.
He wants to win big. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this song...
I don't listen very well.
This is a song by Laura Branigan entitled Gloria, which the St. Louis Blues play.
Oh, you're going to hear it a lot
in
over the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
When they win. So people are very excited about this song. And so we started talking about, Gloria, big hit. They love it. And so earlier in the week, we had to give you the update.
Yeah, Laura Branigan dead.
She's been dead and buried, Dale, about 15 years now. Now, I didn't know this. So apparently...
that she was dead?
Yeah, so I was talking to DJ Bean last night. Apparently, Laura Branigan, who's been dead way before Twitter was invented, has a Twitter account run by, like, a manager of some sort. So Laura Branigan
is still
on
Twitter.
She's on Twitter. And DJ did this whole thing about how he's saying Gloria's the Bruins song. Like, obviously, he was joking.
Yeah.
And this lady wrote back, and she's like, it is absolutely not the Bruins song. It's the Blues song. Like, and he's like, is this really something you should be fighting over on Twitter right now? So anyway, you can tweet at Laura Branigan.
You immediately then got in touch with this lady to say she's dead.
Yes. Correct.
Which was a little cruel on your part.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know what was going on here.
Oh.
And finally, Dale, here on our weekend review, let's get to a little OMF out of context.
How do you find out if a kid is tough or not?
Yeah, game one.
When he gets run over. Oh, Jesus. I'm afraid of the contact. What should I do? They end up blowing out their collarbone, ruining their neck, hurting their arm, just getting jabbed because they have no freaking clue what they're doing.
There you go.
Blowing out your collarbone.
Yeah, that's how you find out if a kid is tough.
Medical thing?
That's how you find out if a kid is tough or not. Oh, one last thing. Let me squeeze this in here. This was an analogy that a caller had about Zdeno Chara on skates.
I mean, the statue of Bobby Orr outside moves quicker than Zdeno Chara right now.
Come on.
I made Wiggy very happy.
Yes, it did.
Wiggy was just grinning and giggling to that. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. There seems to be a bit of a spat, an athlete sports media spat.
Here we go.
Which we're going to kind of dive into and mock to no end. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dollar bills, y'all.
It strained my credulity.
Oh, Jesus. I'm afraid of the contact.
St. Louis, kind of a dump.
Let me start this off by saying I like and respect Kevin Durant and am not trying to continue a Twitter beef with him. However, he did challenge my credibility and I must respond to that. In my telephone, I have more than 60 direct messages from Kevin Durant on Twitter and Instagram since February of 2018. These were conversations initiated by KD himself. We talked about a lot of the things I talked about on Undisputed, and some of these conversations lasted more than 5 hours. If you want to argue over the difference between a text and a DM in the year 2019, go right ahead. But to me, it's all the same thing. For those of you want me to publish these DMs, it's not going to happen. Out of respect for KD, those texts will remain private. Finally, after all of this, I will continue to love, respect, and pray for Kevin Durant and objectively analyze him as a basketball player.
So this is a beef between Chris Broussard and Kevin Durant. Broussard was on TV talking about... Now, I will say this. He was talking about texting with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and there is a big difference, by the way.
Huge difference.
If you're texting with somebody... Oh, I mean DMing with somebody. It's like, it's all on your phone. It's the same thing. No, it is different.
Like, do you know how many people's phone number you have compared to how many people you follow and they follow you, like, on Twitter or Instagram or something like that? It's not even close.
Well, and what blew it all up was Broussard was on TV talking about, you know, texting back and forth with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant just tweeted out, and I'm paraphrasing, bro, you don't have my number.
Yeah, you don't have my number. But, again, Durant's also, he made it sound like they didn't talk, right? Which they probably have. Like, I bet Durant
has. Focusing on the text part.
Yeah, and the text part is wrong. And then Broussard, who, by the way, he's one of these guys. Remember, like, being gay is a sin. Like, he is one of those guys. Remember when Jason Collins came out and he was going on and on about it? So there's that with Broussard, whatever. He's also a guy who confirmed that Deron Williams was going to the Nets when Deron Williams was wearing a Nets hat, like, on Instagram. So anyway, I'm not a big Broussard fan. But this back and forth with he and Durant, who I also don't really like, it's just comical. Like, them are, he's like, I have 60 DMs in my phone, and, like, I've been going back and forth. We've spent hours. There's another cut of him talking about what they talk about, how they talk about life and faith and everything else.
Background on my relationship with KD. KD and I have what I call a love-hate relationship. and I'm not trying to say we're bosom buddies and we're all that close, but we do have a relationship. We have texted, this is no exaggeration, there have been days, a couple of days, we've texted for 2-3 hours straight.
Huh.
Okay?
Can you stop right there for a second? That is embarrassing. I don't care who it is. Don't text anybody for 2 hours. Pick up the phone. Or if they're that important, like, FaceTime them if you have to. 2 hours of text with somebody like that?
I said to my daughter after about 10 minutes, can we just talk?
All right, we're done. You know, can you call me?
Yeah.
I've said this before. I don't like any kind of text chain that goes more than like three. Two or three. Like, what do you want for dinner? This.
Oh, that's why you don't respond to me.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I'll give you one to let you know that I saw it. Maybe I'll give you an emoji back. 2 hours of texting?
It's 2019. This is what people do, though.
Broussard,
this is how people communicate.
Yeah, but what do you possibly have to talk that much about, Durant and Broussard? What on earth are they talking about?
Sex. Life.
Yeah.
The color purple. I mean, I have no idea.
An abomination to be a homosexual. Yeah, that's probably what Broussard's talking about.
3 hours straight.
Huh.
Okay? About life, about basketball, about media, about
media.
Faith. And I've challenged him on his faith, and because we should share a faith walk. Neither one of us is perfect.
What are you doing?
In our faith walk. And I've challenged him, and he's challenged me.
It's good for them. But that's ridiculous. But obviously their relationship isn't all that close if Kevin Durant's going to call him out like that and say, like, hey, you need to have my number.
Well, and again, we're probably talking semantic games.
It is.
You know, he doesn't have his number, so he's not texting him at all.
No.
Chris Broussard has never texted Kevin Durant, and he kind of sort of admits that.
Yeah.
Now, they may be exchanging messages, DMs back and forth, but Broussard takes this whole thing to the next level.
Oh, God.
Because don't you dare call him a liar.
The thing that's more important to me than anything, than my career, than anything, is my integrity.
Yeah.
If I were to sit up here on this show and tell a 4-minute lie with all of that detail, if I were to prostitute my faith, my God, to promote a lie, that would be disrespectful to all you guys, to the audience. And honestly, I think that would be a fireable offense.
Okay,
well, then let's do it.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, fine.
I don't think anybody would be upset with that. I just thought it was just comical, just the two of them going back and forth. What's a text? What's not a text? How close we are? This is our relationship. We talk about everything. We talk about life. I challenge him in faith. Like, oh, my God. Dude, you don't even have his number.
I'm just picturing Kevin Durant looking at his phone.
Although,
really?
Kevin Durant.
We've texted for 2-3 hours straight.
That's insane. That is insane to me. Also,
by the way, the reason he can't pick up the phone and call him, he doesn't have his number.
And which text or which Twitter DM were you using? Because Durant, as we know, has burner accounts where he goes on there and talks about how good Durant is. So, yeah, those guys are probably perfect for each other. Like, they deserve each other. But, oh, my God, 2 hours worth of conversations. Or does Broussard read it as he texted Durant, and then 2 hours later, Durant texts him back. And he's like, see, two hours, baby. Text. You're like, that's not a text.
Text, he DMs you tomorrow.
Yeah.
See, we talked for a day.
Oh, by the way, it looks like Durant not going to be ready for game one of the NBA Finals either.
He might not be ready at all.
I hope not. Let the Warriors win without him. That'd be much
Curry
better.
Gets the Finals MVP.
Yep, that'd be great. That'd be really good. He doesn't have one
They don't need Kevin Durant.
No, they don't.
To win this thing.
Don't.
And I don't care whether they play Milwaukee or Toronto. It doesn't matter. 617-779-7937. We've got an hour to go. We get back to the calls with you on the other side. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.